Everyone knows that the Northeast is famous for its fresh food and innovative businesses. The Butterfly Effect is a friendly zero-waste shop, refillery and cafe based in both Inch and Bankery that can make our lives more sustainable, is friendly to the planet and help create a zero-waste lifestyle. We have delicious and locally sourced foods prepared daily in our cafe by friendly staff. We believe by making small changes in our daily lives we can achieve great things. Using our refillery for basic food and household items can help rid the world of single-use plastic. Living a simpler lifestyle and using household products that don't harm animals can improve the quality of our lives and make our planet more sustainable. But we're not here to preach. One of the best things about our fresh locally sourced produce is that it's delicious. We serve some of the best ice cream and sundaes around. We try to cater for all. Both vegan and gluten-free options are always available. We are here to help you buy your daily food and household products without harming the planet and helping to reduce single-use plastics. We also offer a friendly, relaxed environment for breakfast, lunch, or coffee and cakes. Why not drop in by one of our shops and follow Butterfly Effect on Facebook and Instagram? Butterfly Effect. Change one thing, change everything. As always, this podcast may include the odd swear word, adult story, or controversial opinion. If you are easily offended, I'd turn off now. That's right, folks, after a long hiatus, Series 5 is back with a bang. Delighted to return to the mic and buzzing to release some more class podcasts over the coming weeks and months. Beyond Canal Park, there's some amazing guests lined up for you, everything from European Cup winners to junior football legends and everything in between. While I've been away, local teams have been back in action. However, the less said about the start to the season, for the Vale, the side and the hills, the better, I'd say. Let's hope things pick up for our local sides and they start climbing the table once again. Honourable mention to Dingbro Pete, the White Hills chairman, who is still buzzing his tits off about the Hills' once every 5 year victory over Devon's side. Well done to them. Now go try and beat a few other teams as well. Right on to this week's guest, and it's another member of that all-conquering Huntley side of the 90s, Eddie Copeland. He joins me today and talks to me about growing up playing football in Aberdeen, playing in the Scottish Leagues with Arbroath and Montrose, 5 titles on the bounce with Huntley, and continuing to play over 4 decades with Peterhead, Cove Rangers and Inverurie Locos. Eddie also names the best 11 that he played with over the years, and here's what he had to say. It really is a pleasure to be joined today by another member of the famous Huntley 5 in a row squad, a man who had already been at Huntley for almost a decade before the real success rolled in. He also represented Arbroath, Peterhead, Montrose and Cove Rangers before finishing at the ripe old age of 42 Inverurie Locos. Welcome to the show to Eddie Copeland. Eddie, how are you this evening?
I'm good.
Good stuff. A long career, Eddie. Can you remember enough to fit into an hour?
Oh God, I remember everything basically, but it was a long and actually, I was kind of blessed to sort of last as long as I did, because obviously I had three broken legs, you know.
I know, Well, before we dive into that, take me back to where the love of FITBA began for you as a kid, and who or what got you into FITBA?
Well, it was actually Champion Street, with a squad of kids for two streets.
Aye.
And we were actually the very first Champion Street was ever.
Okay.
A squad was got together, and I ended up top scorer with 35 goals. With 96 goals in 7 games we scored. And we went on to win our league, obviously our league bit, and then we did the winners of the leagues went to the tournament to end, and we won out as well. So that was my sort of the springboard to me, and I just took off from there. So
were you the main man in that team then, or were there others that went on to play football?
Actually, I wasn't really any of went on after that. The good thing was it was between your primary and secondary, so after I got a bit of publicity with that, and so the secondary school was looking for me when I arrived.
Okay.
For a school team, obviously. So
aye.
And it just kept on for there, you know.
Aye. So school football, your experience in that, were you always one of the better players going through the ages and levels?
Yeah, I would say I was. You don't like to blow your own trumpet, but no, I could score goals. I couldn't throw a net. I was a striker right through till probably mid career, to be quite honest. Again, But I think school football is a big miss now. A lot of kids, because
definitely,
I kind of disagree with this academy thing that they do with the like Aberdeen day and taking kids at 7 and 9 and depriving them of school football, which was the best years of your life. I mean, you played your school football, and then you run around the kitchen table, and you know, I'm played for your juvenile team in the afternoon.
That's right.
And the kids are not allowed to do this. I think a lot of games went backward due to that.
Growing up in Aberdeen, were you a Dons fan?
I never classed myself really a fan of Ownedy, because I felt you were got to be a fan, you'd go and watch him.
Aye.
So we playing, don't get me wrong, I like to see Aberdeen doing well, but support Ownedy, no, I never was. And a lot of folks sort of think, you can't be a neutral, but I was a neutral, because I felt if you were playing football, you're in a time to go and support a team. And so I just like to see a good game of football, and that's it, you know.
So growing up then, who were the players you liked watching then, and who were you trying to be when you took to the field?
Just Maradona blew me away since I was a kid. My big love was Leeds United.
Okay.
I was like 10, 11 year old and all that. Great Leeds team was there. We Bremner, Lorimer, all these boys, Alan Clark, Rini, Maidley, and I fell in love with Leeds in a way. I loved watching them. They were just so good to watch, and they were quite nasty as well.
Brilliant.
But that Leeds United team of that era was phenomenal, you know. So that sort of gave you the love of the game.
Were you from a footballing family? Because a lot of your old teammates remember your old man being at every game you played in. Was he a massive influence on you?
My dad, who sadly passed away in November, he was a goalie. And, he'd actually a trial with Huntley many, many months ago. And but he was like any juniors in Aberdeen as a goalkeeper.
Okay.
But he used to come to every game. He came up to Army games like, he never missed a game.
So a massive influence on you.
Well, the thing was, if I never won on him, he was on the pitch with the medal. I didn't got any of them. I've got Army medals now. But I never ever hit him until he passed away like 6 months ago, well, in November. They were all with him, because I just gave it to him. He wanted him. There you go.
Here we go. Proud of his
win. I'll say me losing it tonight when I'm drunk, you know?
So, your senior career began in sort of the late 70s, then, did it? I think you tell me, and it was Arbroath, was it?
I went to Arbroath. I was playing with Middlefield.
Okay,
I actually signed junior for East End.
Okay.
Only I've been doing this pre-season to play a pre-season game at Arbroath, against Arbroath Vicks. They played against them every year.
No way.
So I only came on the second half. I was only at the start of the second half. That was my first game. And the Arbroath scout was there. And on a Monday night, I was playing for Arbroath on the Monday. And I scored a hat trick. And then I only ever played one game for East End. Because I signed for Arbroath after that.
Okay. So, and who's the gaffer there? Who brought you there?
It was Albert Henderson that took me there. He was the longest serving manager in British football, actually,
okay,
Albert.
Aye.
And my debut was probably 2 weeks later against Aberdeen at Pittodrie.
Okay.
Against basically the Gothenburg team in the League Cup. I got a phone call at work in the morning.
Aye.
And I was still to report to Pittodrie at 6:30, and I was on the bench. And I came on the last half hour, so it was a bit of a whirlwind, you know.
Did you get any change out of Miller and McLeish then that night?
No, I was actually up against Stuart Kennedy that night, okay. Which was...
just as tough, eh?
Oh, very.
So was there any players I know playing for Arbroath at that time? Or?
Albert Kidd, the famous Albert Kidd.
Okay, aye.
The done hearts out of the league, man.
Broke the hearts, eh?
Aye, Albert, aye. But I started off quite well there, but to be quite honest, I fell by the wayside a bit because I wasn't behaving myself, and and I probably didn't do myself justice. And okay. Ian Stewart came in there, and I didn't get on with him.
Okay.
And ended up, well, Dennis Darcy was there, was at that time.
Okay.
At Arbroath, and Dennis left to go to Peterhead, and so I left. Actually, I got invited. My last game for Arbroath, it was against Raith Rovers at Starks Park.
Okay.
And they found out I was on my way, and they actually offered my trial game down there.
Huh.
After it. But then Dennis went to Peterhead, and he says, look, come up and get yourself back on track. And my attitude wasn't the best. And you learn for these things.
Mm-hmm. That's a learning curve, eh?
It is a learning curve, right? And if you, it's about getting your mindset right. And to be quite honest, my attitude was terrible, and I probably deserve what I got.
Okay, I'm surprised to hear that, because the folk that I've spoke to about you, you obviously adjusted that attitude later on in the career.
Well, I did. It was a big learning curve at Peterhead, because I went into the dressing room with big characters.
Right.
So
okay,
I had to grow up pretty quick.
So if I were playing with Peterhead then?
Well, you had Big John Severite, you had Sandy Rennie, Wally Lawson, Frank Krakowski, all these guys. Big Dennis was there as well, obviously. And then eventually, I think Dennis left. He was like manager. And Joe Harper, well, we actually got Joe Harper just after he left with Audrey.
Okay, all right, player.
As a player for a start.
Okay.
And then Joe ended up manager there as well.
Class.
You hit the sort of get your acting gear. And it learned me the hard way, because Krakowski punched me in the nose once in a bus game because I laughed after a defeat.
Okay.
And Big Mike McCarty, you know, he was what a goalie Mike was, but he was 6'4" and his hands like shovels. He could bounce a bar with one hand and catch it. And these guys, they really did take defeats bad. And I learned that way. And it was all about you take it in, it does you good in later life.
Definitely. Enjoyable couple of seasons there at Peterhead then. Was there any success?
We won the League Cup final, but I was suspended for a change. We never won a league, but I think it was second and third. It was thereabouts all the time.
Aye.
But I was actually playing quite well, and obviously with Robbie Wanderhead, I don't even mind Robbie.
No,
he was chairman at Peterhead. Okay. Robbie. A spade was a spade, you can.
Uh-huh.
Well, for example, there's one story that Do you remember Bobby Wilson was manager of Keith?
Aye, yep.
And he picked eight. He was a Highland League select manager as well. Yep. And he picked seemingly eight or nine of his own players in the in the select team. So at the year-end AGM, Robbie warned off. You ask a lot of boys about him, they'll remember him. Robbie, a spade was a spade, the chairman of PRV. Uh-huh. And at the AGM, they says, has anybody got anything to say at the end of the night? And Robbie says, well, all I've got to say is, I'm glad Bobby Wilson's name manager of Lossie Mugs. And so it did. Because Lossie Mugs are bottom of the league, you know. But these guys, they were good there. And,
aye.
And then I was playing well at the time. Mm-hmm. And Montrose came in from it, and they would say that I signed for Peterhead for absolutely zero.
Aye.
And they says if I better never got a chance to step up again, they'd have any problems, and they did. And they sold him at Montrose.
Aye.
For Stevie Murray. I think you remember Stevie Murray. Yeah, okay. Was the other day.
Okay.
Stevie Murray, he was a manager at Montrose. Aye. And I signed for Montrose. So.
Big fee?
Sorry?
A big fee?
I think it was about 7,000 or 8,000 at the time.
Which is a lot for them, for the Highland League.
It was a lot for them, but mm-hmm. In all fairness, the Dennis Darcy for got me up here. He says to them, look, if he's came here for nothing, if we ever sell him on,
aye.
He gets half the transfer fee. Now, Dennis was a war by that time.
Okay.
And I went. But I didn't even care about the money, and they honoured it.
Okay.
Which brilliant. Was a nice touch.
Yeah. Aye. So a classic club then.
Yeah, aye. Very.
So
and I love the old recreation park as well.
Mm-hmm. So back to the Scottish Leagues, was it a noticeable jump up in standard to that level again?
Nah, really. I was in too phased. I was full of confidence, and I ended aye. Up I was top scorer up in throws kind of back when I went down there.
Aye, aye.
And no, I did all right until the Stevie Murray, he ended up leaving the club.
Right.
And then the week before, I scored against our bros, my ex-club, obviously, and uh-huh. He and Stuart manager. So I gave him a nice sort of wee sign. And then 3 weeks later, he comes back to me and throws his manager.
Ah.
So
the days are numbered.
Well, in all fairness, no, he was very genuine, actually. He says to me, look, you've improved a lot since blah, blah, blah. And
mm-hmm.
He played me, and then, but ended up, I was out of game for a year. I broke my kneecap against Queen of South in Pat McCluskey, ex-Celtic. He totally put his soul his boots through my kneecap, so up with me. And the doctor did say, he says, I think you'll play again. So from there on, it was just basically a year out.
Aye, okay.
But I came back, and well, I was kind of went off his surety as well again,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't particularly, me and him just didn't see eye to eye. Although he played me, I just had that thing about him.
Aye,
and the putman loaned her office
okay.
to get fit. But this is for that big Kerry Onkey morning group and signing for a few clubs.
Oh, well, I heard that Martin Stewart had said that to me earlier that he'd actually signed for 3 clubs before you came to Huntley.
Well, what happened was I wasn't such a thing, which I didn't know. I wasn't such a thing as a loan agreement
okay.
between Scottish clubs and Highland League clubs at that time.
All right.
So fit Montrose did, and the basis I would go up here and get myself fit, come back, that they had to release me from a contract.
Okay.
But I never knew that. But clever Forbes Sharn sussed that out.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy Wilson as well, obviously. And no, Keith didn't, but Forbes did. And if it happened was, I sort of spoke to Forbes, but then Jimmy Wilson came into the house and he says, look, we've made an offer for you at Montrose. come us, and I says, well, I've sort of spoke to Huntley, and they convinced me that the form wouldn't be accepted. I was young and naive. There you go. That's what I could basically say. I was quite naive.
Badly
and
advised.
They told me the form. I said, no, I'd already signed for Huntley. That's what it was. And I says to them, I says, look, this is, oh, the form wouldn't be accepted. Because, so I thought, oh, okay. So I signed for them as well. And ended up, it caused a massive carry on. Like, uh-huh. It was like, but at the end of the day, the SFA sort of backed Huntley.
Aye, okay.
And for me, signing for the two clubs, I got fined something like £40 or something by the SFA, and that was it over and done with.
No, nah, well, not too bad.
So it was a nightmare. Like.
And Huntley turned out to be the right decision in the end, probably.
Well, it was actually Frankie Laws that signed me.
Aye. So it was about 1984, was it?
Aye, must be. I would have been about then. Yeah, 81. Aye, yeah. And but Frankie, I think he got sacked or relieved of his duties about 3 weeks after I was there, and in came John Fitzpatrick.
Aye, okay.
And John was good. Aye. John, absolutely lovely man. Again, just
aye.
And came well, experience at Man United, etc. He was good for me. Good, but
good for your development.
But it wasn't just that. He had a bit of, he sort of treated you like men, and I think that's how it should be. And say how it is, and if you don't like it, well. That's it, but I did hear about a carry on with John as well, because I ended up I got sent off at Peterhead. If it happened, I was under suspension as it was, but being a centenary game, I was allowed to play in a centenary cup at against Peterhead.
Okay,
and Mike Pocock sent him off, and. Ended up, I threw my boots through the dressing room at Peterhead, and I was put on a list, like, so.
Oh dear.
But they ended up they didn't sell me. I just had to buckle down and behave.
Aye. And it only took you a couple of years to win some silverware. I think you beat Devon Vale Neighbours Deanshire Cup a couple of years after you signed, did you?
Aye, that's right. That's actually my first ever Deanshire, right?
Aye.
I think I've got seven okay. Winners.
Brilliant.
Seven, because I couldn't do my other day, actually.
That was the first thing.
That was the first thing, aye. But that was with a good side in. Mm-hmm. Although we never threatened for a league, again, we could beat anybody. Again, like, probably my most memorable game for Huntley in a personal basis was during that times we played Carly.
Uh-huh.
And with the Ray McIntosh and Billy Urquhart, the real Carly team. Mm-hmm. And we were doing 3-0.
And
I was running about like a blooming blue ass fly. I wasn't hearing it. And I scored three. We drew 3-3, and I'll never forget that I scored two. It was 3-2, and I was in the only free kicks. And we got a free kick outside the box, so I just took the ball. And Fitzy was like jumping out of the door. Eddie, what the hell did you do? I was sharp. Put a ball down, bang, 3-3.
Aye.
I think because I might have walked out of the dressing room after the game, and Frankie Rakowski took a hug and he says, hey, this is the only time I'll ever kiss you. And he kissed Big Frankie. And that was a compliment for Big Frankie.
Aye.
It's just a punch in the face you got for Frank, you know.
I heard for a young lunatic was at that game that every one of that goals was a worldie in that game.
Just a real memorable game for me, that game, like.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I think we said you ended up playing for a club in that spell for about 18 years, is that right?
Aye, we'd be doing about that, aye.
So, I guess you were saying that you were still a good team, sort of in the mid to late 80s, but Fit was a catalyst for the turning fortunes to go for that to the relentless side that were in their path.
Well, eventually Joe Harper ended up manager, and Joe obviously brought in a bit of quality as well. A couple of guys he took in, but then he got Pelly. He got hold of Pelly, and Pelly was still playing at that time. And
that's right.
And then Pelly was a big influence in the dressing room as well. He's just got that sort of aura about him, you know. Pelly ended up getting the job, and then I think Pelly sussed out if it wasn't there, you know.
And
I've said this to people for years. You can like folks say, "Oh, what side?" And we did with a great side then. Back in that days in the glory days, but it. I wouldn't have said we are the best players in the league. I think what he got right was the mix.
Aye, okay, the characters.
A guy's playing together. I wouldn't say you are the best players in the league because there was some better players in other teams, but you just got the right mix and right mentality. And I think that was a big thing.
Aye.
You know?
Brilliant. And I guess adding into that, the great team spirit was key to that for a long success as well.
Well, we were quite a nasty bunch, I'm a great believer. Nice boys win nothing, you know.
Well,
it's just you've got a nasty streak, and you don't get me wrong. I was the friendliest guy off the pitch, but on the pitch, I had no friends in the pitch, and it's got to be like that. But once that final whistle goes in every game, you're in the social club. That's fine.
It was a team of winners and also a team of drinkers, was it? There must be some funny tales for on and off the pitch.
Oh, going well. the Dunblaning was probably what the game against from played Hearts down there. We played Dumbarton. That Dumbarton trip was just I left on a Friday and got home on a Monday. But I think the funniest thing about that was watching Pelly in sports scene. Because he was absolutely bloated. He obviously been up all night, but he got a late shout to go do the shooters and sitting with Billy McNeil, but only Pelly could carry it off, you know?
Quality.
But I think at that time as well, you got Wally Lawson, like, Wally. Wally was always a right-hand man, and it shows how good he was, because every manager kept Wally as the right-hand man. Because Wally was a perfect guy to relate to the players. Wally did so much work, training and organising training for the Aberdeen squad, because the majority was for Aberdeen. But also, he had a lot of trust in Wally,
You need that.
You probably one of the biggest influences in my career.
Okay.
By a country mile, Wally. Because when I was here in my bad days and my sending off days and no behaving myself, and Wally used to take me aside and say, "Eddie, Fidge, what be doing? Do you want to be kicking chip papers up at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night after being the pub all day? Or do you want to keep playing football?" And I think that's like later on, like once I hop me 28, 29, I actually started looking after myself better than I ever did.
Okay,
And probably prolonged my sort of career, you know.
Well, I've heard that, for some of your teammates, that you were the fittest chain smoker there's ever been.
I think I was just a freak. I love training. I love working hard and training. And the games, the thing is that I played up front, which I used to do a lot of work up front. But when I broke my leg at Huntley, Marty Stewart came in.
That's right.
And he sort of took my place up front. And then once I was fit, Pelly says, "Look, Eddie, I can see you play in the middle." Which I thought, I could handle that, because if you're involved all the time as well. It worked quite well. And again, it's like a lot of people say to me, "Oh, strike, you were, I see this, blah, 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 you were a striker." A lot of people didn't know it.
No.
But I was a striker right up until, obviously. till Marty came on the scene, and yeah, you couldn't have a better replacement, could you?
Well, there you go. He talked about on his podcast like that. He felt a bit bad taking your place, but you want it back in midfield.
Oh no, I never. He was ready. He was
aye.
He was at a stage. He needed to come in, and well, he never looked back. You know?
Said it was great for him. He hated playing on the wing anyway.
But Marty had a gift as well, and folks say, oh, it's been the right place at the time, but it's a gift. You've got Marty was, I was there, and again, boys like him, Luggy, mm-hmm. Gary White,
aye.
Goals galore.
That's it. Hey, that side, you know, they were winning relentlessly, but is there any title or cup that stands out as special in that period?
A cup?
Or the title, any of the league titles? Was there any which a bit more special than the others?
I think it's the first team league was be the special team.
Aye.
Because if Peterhead, Ross County, Elgin, Carly, Inverness Thistle, to me that is my true Highland League medal.
Yes, aye. And a lot of the boys for that team said the same thing. Aye, because the big teams were still there.
Every team was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. That's a really special medal, you know.
Aye, yeah.
Because I remember from it, we were getting applauded on by Ross County,
uh-huh.
And some of the players were going, "Oh, well done, long ball, Huntley." Can I be a bit sarcastic? You know?
Okay.
And then we went out and pumped him, you know. And it doesn't matter. That was the thing about Pearlie as well. Like he. Abdi used to think, which is that sometimes you need the route one. If it works for you, it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to, Pearlie used to use it all the time over at Cove, obviously at a tight pitch.
Tight pitch, yeah.
But we could play as well, you know, and that was the difference. And I think that was a wee bit of jealousy, you know.
Aye, definitely.
But it was good to go on and can stuff and mess a lot, you know.
Aye. There was obviously great people behind the scenes at that club as well for it to go on as long as it did.
Well, for Sean, shrewd man.
Aye.
he knew what he wanted, but the thing was, you can, a lot of people say to me, oh, he's bought that league, he got Gary White. You can, we got Gary White for peanuts.
Aye,
he was in a free for four for. Mm-hmm. Can people thought we spent a lot of money, and we didn't, and then you can, you boys like Davy Moreland now. Davy,
mm-hmm.
how... Cove bombed him out, obviously,
right,
due to that carry on with the referee. Now, I ken a true story of that.
Okay.
And did I think Davey was treated harshly? I did, because if somebody quotes to you on a Saturday night thing, you've missed the biggest game of your season because you're suspended, and says a comment, a referee shouldn't be making a comment like that in a midnight on a Saturday night.
Definitely.
And in the end, it could have happened to anybody, but... Cove's loss was our gain.
Aye, for sure.
God, but in our fairness, we were playing against 12 men for quite a while. We and Davey, you know. No, but we did. But because
he's a marked man, was he?
But Davey, he was getting guys kicking him off a bar.
Okay.
Stuff like this, and referees were ignoring it. And I'll tell you, it was pathetic. It was a disgrace.
Aye.
And he was judged for that, and... It was totally wrong, and it's something it wrong in my mind, because it was totally and utterly wrong for they were doing the referees. And I tell you, a lot of them will deny it, but they did do it. I'll guarantee I've seen it with my own eyes, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Training, you trained as you played, I would imagine. But I hear you'd come to training with a clock on your trainers. What's that about?
Oh, somebody tell you about trainers, did they?
What's that about?
Well, it was... It was this new idea, this trainers that came out, I actually had a clock in it on the tongue.
Okay.
Yeah, and
some stick for that, didn't
I did take a bit of stick, but they were very expensive, you know, James. They were expensive. I think a few of the guys were just jealous, you know.
Okay. So it must have been great when guys like Doug Rugvey and that were arriving at a club as well. Was it just stepping things up a notch?
Well, the thing is, big Dougie, man, honestly, you'd say he'd been here all his days. And scary figure, but I'll tell you what, absolute gentleman. And if I really respect Dougie for his, like, in the past years, you had boys that had been come up and they'd been freed by Dundee United because they weren't good enough. And they would think they were a pop star, you know. And then you get a guy who comes in like Big Doug Ruggie with all the medals and the European champ. And he came out with us on a Saturday night, never thought he was any better than us.
No.
We the lads all the time. What a star. And the fact I like about him is he played for us like he played for Aberdeen.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. It was wholehearted. I was he wasn't just up for the the jolly. He was what a player.
Great,
absolute
man.
Great player,
I heard that you were the only guy that got a Christmas card off him.
Oh, aye, that must be Craig Yates to tell you that. Yes, I was jealous because Yates, I used to call me Blue Eyes, you see, that's okay. What he used to say. So here's Eddie Blue Eyes, you see, Doogie's pal. Jealousy is an
jealousy, aye, that's it.
Yeah, okay. That was another boy you could play as well, Craig.
Craig, aye, well, I've had him on, obviously he was one of the few that's got six titles.
He stole one. The first team he played about five games, but you never heard that from me. Okay,
he did say that he was struggling until he came in.
That's right. One thing about Craig is, which I thought it was massive compliment to him, was Craig could probably play any position.
Aye, okay.
You could play him at right back, you could play him centre midfield, play him up front. Craig, he was one of those guys you could just play anywhere. But, I was popped up with a late goal as well.
Aye, yeah. Who else did you enjoy playing with? I remember that, cause I watched that team quite a few times. The boy Gray on the wing was pretty special at times as well, wasn't he?
Well, I used to be roomed up with Stevie because me and Stevie were smokers, you see. So I was with Stevie a lot. Unbelievable player. Probably the best. I'd say the best talent has ever played in the Highland League.
Okay.
By a country mile.
All right.
He's just on his day, unbelievable. But sometimes Stevie just went AWOL sometimes. But when it come to playing, nobody could touch him.
His character's on both wings, isn't it? I heard Marco De Barris is missing these days, isn't
it? I think he must be with the Red Indians out in the desert somewhere or something. Marco's a lovely guy.
Aye.
And I'll tell you, what a player. I remember, I think we played Wick away one game, and the fullback he was playing against, I think he must have nutmegged him easy six, seven times in a game.
Aye.
And a guy was trying to do him a hell game. Aye. And he couldn't catch him. But Marco was unique. He was just one of these guys. Marco was Marco. And I think if you ask one of the guys, that's just Marco.
Aye.
But I remember we played Falkirk in the Scottish Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon Green says to him, "Look, say if you're travelling for Lossiemouth, I'll pick you up at my house on a Friday."
Okay.
"And so it's easier for you. And then you'll just get on the bus in the morning, we're going to Aberdeen, pick up Aberdeen guys, blah, 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 and do it in Brockville."
Mm-hmm.
"And this is just Marco for you." And John Gardner was manager at the time.
Aye.
And he was doing, he speaks to John the bus, he's like, "Yeah, I'm not playing today, John." And John's like, "What do you mean you're not playing today?" "I didn't have good sleep and all that." And he didn't play.
No.
But I was Marco. He just, if he didn't feel right, he wouldn't play. No. Because I remember one game up at Carly as well. He says he wasn't fit. And Pelly says to him, "But go for a fitness test." "I'm not even going for a fitness test." And then after the team had been named and the team lines were not through.
Mm.
And then later on, Pelly says to me, "In terms of fitness, what percentage were you? Are you fit?" He says, are you 50, 60, 70, 70, 80? Mark was turned around and says, "I was 99.9%
fit." You needed to be
100. Pelly just went mental like him. But But that was just Marco. But he is a match winner. God, the amount of games he sprung up with us, and same with Luggies, like Brian Thompson. Mm-hmm. What a player! You know, I mean, Brian was just. I remember a qualifying cup final at Elgin against Cove. And actually, when I was looking at photos for you this week, I came across it, and we beat Cove in penalties, and Thompson's goals, 90th minute, make it 1-1. And then a screamer of a 30-yard free kick in the 120th minute.
Class.
So, 90th and 120th minute, and then we beat him in penalties. Penalty. But I think our cup's a massive miss as well. Scottish cup's a joke now. I don't really relate to it now, to be quite honest, because they're like Tom, Dick, and Harry, right? I'm not demeaning MD or whatever, but at the end of the day, you can see the qualified cup. When you were in the semi final and you'd qualified for the Scottish Cup, it was probably one of your best nights of the season. And then from the day that we were qualifying cup, I thought it's a massive miss, absolute massive miss, because qualifying for the Scottish Cup was a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, aye, for sure.
And it's not hard to just get in it now and you're in there. Well, you've seen Highland League clubs struggle this.
To some junior teams doing sooth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think about the pyramid that's in place now?
The thing is, I felt a couple of years ago, bro, I could have won out in the bother, but did they want to be there? Mm-hmm. And that's my question. Did they want to be there? You can travelling.
Yeah.
People spoke about it. Would we have, in our day, if we'd got a chance to go into the league? The Highland League's a special place, and again, like you can do it. I've done the Scottish leagues in at levels, like you can do Stenhouse Muir, and you're on a bus, you're a cup of tea, you're on a bus home. There's no sociability about it, really. I think if you're like Cove, obviously, and they want to go places, they want to do a Carlow or a Ross County, I can see where they're coming from. But for any team that's maybe they got the finances for an ambition like that, they're better off down in the Highland League, to be quite honest, in my opinion.
You think Huntley, if it was open then, you think Huntley would have gotten up through the leagues a bit?
It depends. It's easy saying, obviously, based in finances, you got hit by better players, and obviously, if your better players are getting older, like your team did, and building it up now, and it's difficult to say.
It's difficult being it every week in, week out against that bigger clubs, but that Huntley team certainly mixed it well. We big clubs in the Scottish Cup over that period, didn't they? There must be some special memories for some of them.
Well, the Dumbarton team was, and the Hearts at Tynecastle was a great experience. And that night we were staying in the same hotel as Rangers.
Aye.
And we actually went out with them Saturday night, and at Victoria's nightclub in Glasgow.
Uh-huh.
And we were buying in the Motorhouse International in Glasgow. And we went there. Aye, McCoy studies, but they had a lot of them around. They're mingling ways. They were absolutely fabulous ways, to be quite honest.
Aye.
And McCoy's in the morning, in a hotel room, like I was a kid's program on in the morning.
Aye.
In a Sunday morning, and McCoy's was a guest on it. And he'd done the same gear. He'd done the same gear. So he'd obviously never been him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but... So,
but no, I think Arsenal weekend was a good weekend. But I think one on top the Dumbarton weekend, because their manager he didn't even come up to watch us. He says, "Well, I don't really need to watch Huntley." He says, "If we they were top of first division at the time."
That's right.
And we didn't do that day, but McGinley got both goals that day.
That's right.
But Gardner was outstanding that day.
Aye. Great
John
goal,
Gardner. Yeah. He was a tremendous goalie, John. Aye. And actually, a tremendous manager. And I mean, John at Locals. Again, John took me at Locals. He was a good manager, good knowledge. And I think, had Locals not been so hasty with him, they sacked him. Like three quarters of the way through the season, from the ball, just near the top of the league.
Aye, okay.
I reckon if they kept John, they'd have won that league.
Okay.
They would have had their title. Uh-huh. And I genuinely believe it.
Okay.
But I think what they didn't like about John was he was drinking in Inverurie on a Saturday night.
All right. Okay.
Well, it's his choice. And,
aye.
But I reckon they should have kept him because they would have won the league that year.
Aye. Okay. We're speaking about Scottish Cups there. You must have had some great trips and team nights out and stuff. I hear you just went to Newcastle and your room got ransacked one time.
Well, when we do it in Newcastle, that was with the goon squad, I call them, okay. Bremner and all that guys.
Uh-huh.
But I was roomed up with this guy, Craig Russell. And so... Walks up in the morning and the TV's upside down. I was like, Armaclise is hanging outside for the next night. And I'm looking for Craig Russell. Well, he's fell in between the two single beds. I didn't even care he was there. He was stuck. So I goes out and I looks in the balcony and I'm like, well, I think it was Bremner right away because my clothes were hanging out in the balcony.
All right.
And I says, well, there's only one person can reach our height, it's Bremner. because there's no guy can reach that height to hang my clothes up farther than in the balcony. But, and also, I don't white boxers, and I got up, and I'd been for a curry for a Chinese night before. I think I'd seen his back in the room. And I looked at my boxer shorts, and they're all brown. I'm like, oh, no, surely no. But they rubbed the curry all on my boxers. Take advantage of an old man.
I heard though in your day that you were a heartbeat of the dressing room and you gave it and you took some brutal banter.
You took the banter and that's what it's, you dished it out. If you dished it out, you took it.
Aye.
But you did get an occasional guy, couldn't take it. And to me, that's not what it's about.
No.
But it was hard coming into our dressing room. I used to just like integrating the new guys in, you know, aye. And that's what it was all about. But no, I miss the dressing room big time.
Aye.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And the thing is, here's Andy Troop at Keith, you know, like young Andy, he used to, if we were training, and honestly, and horrendously cold winter's night, or middle of winter, I think Andy must have only been about 13, you can.
Aye.
And, he used to mark our tea and he had a couple of packs of digestive biscuits in the dressing room when we finished. And I mean, it didn't seem a lot.
No.
But seeing a winter's night, if a car night's training, a cup of tea and a digestive after you finished training.
It was
huge. And Andy became a big favourite of the guys, like, you know.
Aye.
Pretending to look after him, like, you know.
Aye. Martin Stewart remembers you taking him under your wing when he first came in and looking after him till he could look after himself.
Was that Marty?
Martin, aye.
But it's difficult. It's like, even now, sometimes I'd like, you know, big crowded rooms that I'd came people.
Aye. Mm-hmm.
And even now, you know, I'm bloody 60 now, but it must have been hard for some of these guys coming in. And I used to feel like, look, let's make them comfortable. And it was just a thing I did. And
yeah.
It was the same to like parents that came on the bus, the team. Because we used to get a lot of parents came on the team bus, which the club was good at, boy, you know.
Aye.
And you'd mark him welcome. And it's just about marking up to feel relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy that sort of part. It was important. It was important to Mark Abdi feel important. That's what I felt.
Yeah, yeah.
Kenny, it's like you look at Big Hendo the other week.
That's right.
And Hendo was one of our guys, one of the punters, and I'm still so chuffed how well he's done. Because he was just one of the lads as well, and well, he still is.
I've had John on this podcast, and he's a thoroughly, thoroughly nice guy.
Absolutely fantastic.
He's a great guy. Personally, you must have had some dogged determination and resilience about you, because I think, if I'm right, you broke your leg 3 times and dislocated your elbow.
A dislocation was the worst.
Aye. I heard you just wanted a fag, though.
Well, that happened was, and I spoke about Mike Pocock previously, sending him off at Peterhead when he shouldn't have. And if it happened, was up at Dingwall, playing Ross County, and I'd clattered Johnston Belshaw.
Okay.
So he got stretchered off. So I should have been sent off, but Mike Pocock booked me. Now, Mike Pocock never booked me. He used to send him off, right? I did get me wrong. I like Mike, and I get on well with Mike. Mm-hmm. But he used to send him off. But this day, he didn't send him off. And about 5 minutes later, I went in to tackle with Barry Wilson. Right. And it was just the way I fell down and put my arm down, dislocated my elbow. So I was at the dressing room, and they're like, oh, we'll get you ice, we'll get you. And I'm like, just get my fag, just get my fags. I was like, stressed. Uh-huh. And I had an ambulance journey to Raigmore. And the last person who went to see me was Johnston Belshaw. Well, he was in there, was he, when I went in. And he was sort of looking at me as if to say, hey, go ahead, it's karma, you know.
Uh-huh.
But no, that was a horrendous injury. It was actually, I never went to do that again. That was worse than any of my broken legs.
Aye.
Well, it felt worse than any of my broken legs.
So you said at the start when you did a kneecap, they thought you'd never play again. You must have heard that a couple of times in your career and beat the odds.
The thing is, I used to take it as right. They're saying in a safety sense.
Aye.
But I'll just see how it goes. But you just get hungry at the end of the day. If it was in your blood a Saturday, and then once our first tackle's in after you come back, that's it, you're away again, you know. But some guys on there, like you sometimes find guys on there the same if they come back for an injury like that, because they're worried about it.
I was
never really a worrier about it. I just sort of, I'm fit again, that's it, I'm back on the pitch. And that's fair, did he?
So the Huntley time obviously had to come to an end at some point, but I believe that you're one of only two players with more than 500 appearances for Huntley. I think it's you and Russell Guild. Who's got the most?
Oh, Guild hasn't got 500.
All right. Well, that was info I got. Was just the two of you over 500.
No, I think Guildy's over 500, no.
Oh, well. So you're just you?
Just, I think I'm about 500 in 40 or 5 seconds, I mean, something like that. But I'd have hated to see how much I would have had if I hadn't two broken legs and dislocated elbow. I'd have probably rattled up maybe 650 games.
Nae bad.
Nae
bad. So how did things end at Huntley then?
No, it came to the end of the, after Phil Bonnyman came in, and honestly, what a fantastic coach. Absolutely.
I heard that.
He was different league, actually.
Aye.
And Doogie ended up leaving as manager.
That's right.
And then we were in a really, really, we weren't in a great position.
No.
In fact, it was quite phenomenal, actually, because once Phil came in, we just went on and beat and run.
Aye.
And I think we had about 10 games to go. Like, you're picking up the paper, and little Moby was like telling Abdi that he was going to show his brother his Highland League medal and da da. And then we gradually clawed it back. And then the big thing for us was we went up to Brora on a really howling, windy day.
Aye.
Which I think was a big turning point. We came away with a 1-0 win. Scraped a 1-0, but it was a 1-0 win. But it's a horrible day, it's a horrible game. And then Frisburgh got beat that day. Okay. And then after that, we just turned the corner. And it was Bonnyman was unbelievable, the confidence. And he changed our style of play. And he started playing a 3-5-2. And obviously, he wasn't stupid. He kept Willie Larson as well, which was good for him as well, you know. And, no, the winning league that year, in the position we was when Doogie left. Quite amazing, actually. Aye.
It was a special one. You spoke about a few teams and opponents, but far did you really hate playing against? Far were the tough opponents back in that time?
Opponents far hated playing against.
Far gave you a hard time.
Gordon Conley.
Okay.
Gordy was clever. Although I broke his nose in a cup final, like Elgin, but as Gordy will probably tell you himself. But Gordon was difficult. He was really, really hard opponent.
Aye.
And Martin Lyle with Carly. Big Hercher.
Oh, aye.
God bless him. He's dead now. You know, it's sad. And guys like that, it was so much quality that you basically come across quality every week at that time. And then, well, your Cove, we Dougie Baxter. Dougie was difficult to pin down sometimes, but. And then Moby himself, little Moby was. I thought if he put his mind to it, he's probably, if not as good as Scott, you know.
Aye. Okay.
His brother, these type of boys.
Okay, so you ended up back at Peterhead, is that right? A wee spell.
I went back to Peterhead. Arthur Murphy got. I wasn't really happy about the treatment Arthur got.
Aye.
At Huntley, like after the time he'd been there, and Phil, it was Phil Bonnie when it released him. For like I say, Phil, I loved Phil, but. I wasn't happy with the treatment of Arthur, and I just thought, okay, someone, I'm 39, a wee change.
Aye.
But Kensimon, I enjoyed Peterhead that year. It was 99-2000.
Aye.
I enjoyed Peterhead that year. It was great to play at Balmoor, and it was a lovely place to play. But I didn't feel right way on the blue.
No, okay.
No, it was funny. It felt. Did I feel I made the wrong move? I know. I was pluses and minuses, but overall, well, that was it. And then I went back. I went to. I'm trying to think for a win after Peterhead here. I think I went to Cove. No, I went back to Huntley after that.
Was that a player assistant at Huntley after that, was it?
Yeah, I went to Cove. Went to Cove.
Aye.
And then I went back to Huntley as player assistant with Frazee.
Aye, okay.
With Frazee, that was a great player, Fraser Kellis. He was some guy, and I spoke to Fraser and he got me back there. But the management thing, well, it's for some people, but it's not for me. I did it with Fermartin a couple of years ago. I won the 20s league with Fermartin, and I did enjoy it because Pelly took me there and enjoyed it. Did that side up, but it's a hard task nowadays, and I'm maybe a bit of old-fashioned, I'm maybe a bit of a dinosaur, but I just feel it's a different breed now sometimes.
The characters in the game have totally changed when you were playing, for sure.
Plus the fact is, I think in a Highland League now, a lot of teams are travelling by cars.
That's right. Right, the social aspects kind of disappearing.
The travelling in the bus every week, this is where you got to Ken, guys.
That's right.
You know, I was guys that maybe you didn't go on particularly well from the place for somebody else, but then you were mixing it, and then you got to really know the person. You can't never judge a book by its cover because you get to know these guys.
I don't know how you're supposed to run through brick walls for boys if you barely ken them. Like.
Exactly, and I think that's Tina Watt, a lot of the social side of it as well, like Kevin Allen played. Now Kev is a player that a lot of people probably wouldn't mind at Huntley.
Aye, okay.
Kevin, but Kev, why? Because Kev was a 9 out of 10 every week.
Aye.
He done his job brilliantly, did it? But so folk never expected anything else. So he was just
aye.
He was there. Aye. Oh, that's Kev Allen. Every week. But Kev would come to the bus.
Aye.
And wouldn't say a word hardly. I'd have wanted to get him. soon as he got a couple of beers, he was a menace. That's how travelling the bus you get to give like people on. And Arthur Murphy, well, Arthur, he was just an unbelievable comedian.
Aye.
But I was an other guy. He was an absolutely great player for Huntley.
Aye.
And actually, Arthur referees now, believe it or not.
Brilliant. And you finished up your playing career at the age of 42, I believe, with Inverurie Locals. If it kept you going to that age, just love of the game?
I still felt fit. And I was promised myself that if I couldn't do it, Eddie Park in. But that would bear in sympathy for everything I've done before. I wanted to still be contributing. And I was still contributing. And probably my best game for them was the Shield Cup final.
Aye, and am I right? That's the first time you won it at 42.
I've been after that for a while because it finished the set, you know.
Aye.
But I felt if I could still do it. But the end of that season, I decided to call it a day. I thought, well, I was sick of the travelling, basically. Busy with work. I just had 28 years of sort of chasing the clock, travelling here, travelling there, travelling all the way. And I just thought, well, I think it's time to just...
Mm-hmm.
So I went back junior. I signed for... What I did was I signed a season for East End.
For it all
I signed basically as a thank you because if I'd been with a team like Sunnybank or Banks of D at that time, I might not have got a lot as easy. They didn't have had me back in any way, so I always felt I owed them.
Aye, okay.
And I ended up doing my cruciate ligament halfway through that season.
Okay.
And believe it or no, I actually got knocked my cruciate because I was bloody too quick. because I went for a bar I really shouldn't have went for.
Aye.
and I nicked it by a fullback. and he came in and caught my knee. He didn't mean it.
No,
but that was it Maud. And okay. So that was my cruciate. That's it. That was end of
brilliant career though to look back on. Any regrets at all or happy with how it went?
Happy with the outcome, I definitely, but I do regret that, like, at the time I signed for Montrose, I spoke to Don McKay with Dundee.
Okay.
Who's manager at Dundee at the time, but he only offered me a year's contract.
Right.
That had been full-time, but I had a young child and that at the time. And
okay.
I thought a year's name, but if I'd screwed in that, I think I maybe should have done that. I maybe should have just went, because I was flying at that time.
Did you hear any offers for bigger clubs when you were flying at Huntley and stuff? Or you had chances to get back into it?
Joe Jordan liked me when he watched this against Queen of South. I thought we played Hearts and Pelly. Okay. Says, well, I don't think you will. He says, he's 33. So,
the interest was ended then, was it?
I think back in my day, in a like school's fit, but in juveniles, I felt I was a wee bit snobbery, you know.
Okay.
It was the posh school guys that got picked for this and that. And
okay.
It was a lot of politics, which I think is totally wrong, but I don't think much has
changed.
Sorry?
I don't think much has changed, really, in that respect.
Yeah, well, you can. they maybe didn't like a little rebel. I think, I remember Lenny Taylor, he was actually like, take me to be the select team if I got my haircut, you know. And I was never getting my haircut.
No.
So I was knocked in the head. But I think you've just got to be for you are. But
aye, for sure.
I felt the only thing I really regret is not sort of putting it in at our bros. I sort of let myself do there, but then I went and got in with the Lawsons and the Krakowskis and the McCartys, and they set me back on the right track.
What a joot, eh?
that's probably one of my big regrets, because I did like our bros. I did enjoy it.
Okay, I always get my guest to name their best 11 that they played with. I think you've prepared it for me, so if you can take us through your 1 to 11. It must have been a tough job.
Number one, I'm allowed to swear, aye?
Aye.
Right. Jai G, John Gardner, the most miserable bastard you'll ever meet. John's that tight, he's who I'm selling money, right? Between the sticks, I would have hit him only the other week. Aye. So, no qualms with John.
Brilliant.
Right fullback, and this might be a surprise to some people, but I mind him for he plays, so they probably mind him for he was a manager, assistant. But Wally Larson was a tremendous player.
Okay.
Absolutely tremendous player. So, Wally was at Huntleaf, and I first went there, and Wally's definitely in mid-back four. In the central defence, the two, got to be Rugby and Moreland.
Aye.
Big Doogie, obviously, what he done, but just the way he played for us and what he gave us. And Davy Moreland should have definitely played at a higher level, without a shadow of a doubt.
Brilliant.
Left back, little Selby, Alan Selby.
Oh, aye.
Absolutely one to a left peg.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What can I say about Selbs? He's just a little grumpy shit, but... But no, he was one of the guys, and yeah, what a player. He very unlucky in to make it in a full time game either, though. He did 4 years, but. And then right wing, Stevie Gray on the four in midfield, Stevie Gray on the right.
Yep.
In the central mid, Stevie Lennox, Rolls Royce.
Aye.
Absolute Rolls Royce, Stevie.
Aye. Miss Focus played with him, I've put him in like.
Oh, Stevie, just. Can say simple tenure, but at the time get and go. No, just a Rolls Royce with a player, Stevie. And I tell you what, an absolutely fantastic guy.
Aye, I hear and he's pretty humble about it all.
Sorry,
I hear he's pretty humble about it all.
Aye, Steve's really humble. Oh, lovely guy. Went the same school as me, actually, Stevie.
Okay.
Aye, brought up, dragged up the same area. Yeah. Craig Yates, I hate to say it, I hate to put him in a team. This really hurts, right?
Uh-huh.
But I can't deny him. Innocent in midfield, great, up and down the pitch, coming in late on in games, into the box late, scoring goals. Now, Yates is in here only day of the week.
Okay.
On the left, I'm DeBarris.
Aye.
Now, a lot of folk would wonder who's named the right, but sometimes used to switch Marco left to right. It's my reason to put him at left. Marco's great gun left side, and then cutting inside and getting a crack at the goal.
That's fit wingers seem to do these days anyway. It's the more modern way.
Marco was good, because sometimes they would do that with us. They would switch. Okay, so if you go at the left, Marco at the right, just switch it about. And then two up front was a difficulty.
Aye.
Because Gary White, I thought, he came quite up. It's you'd love to name 20 guys in us, and it's I never realised how difficult it is to sit down. But definitely Luggy, Brian Thompson, kind of just what a match winner, what a finisher. And then it's got to be old Martin Stewart, party, pace, finishing, just an absolute hand face. So
brilliant.
That's my 11. And you went to subs.
Go on it.
Right, this is guys I felt I hit the bit in.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Allen,
yep.
The first sub. Kevin Walker, would have been between Wally and Kevin. And
aye.
I've went with Wally. Some will disagree. Arthur Murphy, Gary White, and obviously, when I mentioned him tonight, Colin McRonald.
Okay.
McRonald, great winger. Great left peg. So that's it. That's my team.
Great squad. And who's your gaffer?
Gaffer would be... Would hate it be... I'd like to say Phil Bonnyman for the fifth team, but it's got to be Pelly.
Pelly, aye. Okay.
It's got to be Pellin.
And who'd skipper that side?
Skipper Lennox.
Lennox, okay. Yep. Now, you've named yourself. Some folk have, some folk kind of, but would you slip in that team, no bother? Would you get a game?
If maybe one of the middle two, but probably Yates are, but he's a bit of fat like you can. Yates will probably get tired after half an hour.
You'll get on.
But no, I didn't want to name the sale or not because be quite honest, I think it's near bottom middle of the park actually. I would maybe struggle to get in there.
If you dropped that team into today's Highland League, if they were all in their prime, they'd walk it, would they?
Oh, absolutely.
Aye.
Absolutely no doubts.
Kid dog.
No doubts. And that's, but the thing is, as a lot of good players too willing to go junior now. I remember I got offered about £10,000 for Sonny Bunk to sign for him.
Okay. Aye.
And it sounded attractive at the time. And then I thought, once you spend the money,
that's it.
Yeah, you're at Sonny Bank. And that's the disrespect to Sonny Bank. You play at the highest level for as long as you can.
Aye.
And that's my opinion. But a lot of folk that think that way. But
no.
Ken, it wasn't easy. A lot of folks say it's doing the work. I juggled it for 28 years. When I was at Arbroath, I had to get a train doing after my work and get a last train home at midnight. And I had to do that sometimes three times a week.
You need a desire, eh?
I think folk make excuses. There is work in it, but a lot of folk maybe didn't. Do they really want it? And to me, you've got to want it.
Aye.
And that's probably why I had such a successful career, because I did want it.
Aye, definitely. Larry, that's been fantastic to hear about your career. I was finished up with a few quick fire questions just to round things off. Okay?
Yeah.
And just the first thing that comes to mind. So the first thing is, one thing you would change about football to improve it?
Do away with VAR.
Aye. A lot of folk are saying that. You still not happy? Do you think it's improved any?
No, I don't think it's a good thing.
No.
I think, well, mark mistakes, referees mark mistakes, and that's it. You can human nature. But as VAR thing, I think it kills the game as well when it stops, and it's not for me. It's not for me.
Okay. Who would you like to play you if they made a movie of your life?
Oh, that's a good one. Hold on. Keanu Reeves.
Okay. One other club you wished you could have played for?
Oh, but if it be Leeds United.
Okay. You named a few earlier, but I'll get you to take it down to one. The toughest direct opponent you ever came up against on the pitch?
Oh. Aye, in a one-off game, or just
aye, hard time. Any game. Aye.
Oh, in any game. Probably Stuart Kendy in our first game.
That's a fair debut. Up. If you could bottle just one moment of your career to relive, what would it be?
Probably that first title, I think. Well, saying that, it was Skipper to pick up the fifth.
Okay, aye, that's a great moment.
So I've skipped that last couple of years. I think that moment was just. I think the thing I loved about that was, I was doing something that neither captain's done.
Aye, yep.
And I think that was a big thing about it.
Aye.
Plus another thing is that I played 4 decades.
Okay.
70s, 80s, 90s, and the millennium. Uh-huh. And I think I was one of my targets, was to do the 4 decades.
Brilliant, and there's not a lot of folk does that.
No.
Okay, very last question. Which pro player, past or present, was most like your style, attributes, and personality on the pitch?
I was going to say Vinnie Jones, but it's not Vinnie Jones. I think Steve McManahan with Liverpool was a bit of my style.
Okay, aye.
Mm-hmm. I've never been a most skillful player or whatever, but I was that cog in the team that you kind of needed. And
aye, yeah.
Yes. The other boys did the silky stuff and I sort of did the dirty work sometimes.
Nah, that's a goodie. Most folk try and say Zidane or Messi.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's the thing. It's a mixture, isn't it? You've got guys that dig into the dirty work, mm-hmm. and the grafting.
Aye. Brilliant. Well, that's been fantastic, Eddie. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I appreciate your time tonight, and cheers for that.
Be an absolute pleasure, James.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Well, a huge thanks to Eddie for giving up his time and speaking to me about his trophy-laden career. It really is very much appreciated, as always. If you'd like to appear on Beyond Canal Park, or know someone who should, give me a shout on the Facebook, Twitter or Instagram pages. If you don't already, please follow us there as well for up-to-date news, guest info and competitions. You can listen to the full back catalogue of guests by searching for Beyond the Canal Park on all the main podcast providers, including Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. Please leave a review for me there as well. It's always nice to see. If you'd like to submit any questions or info for guests or provide some feedback, again, just message me at one of the social media pages just mentioned. And that's it for this week's folks. Join me next week when I'll be joined by Elgin City's fullback and local McDuff loon, Matthew Cooper. Bye for now.